Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. I own a co-working space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association and the founder of Everything Coworking. This episode is brought to you by my program, the Coworking Startup School. I am in the process of updating the format of the program to make it even more comprehensive and accessible. I'm super excited about the changes I'm making. The new version is based on my co-working space validation system. There are 12 steps in the validation system that get you set up for success when you open your space. In addition to the framework, the course also covers marketing, hiring, and the co-working tech stack. So you can get a full outline of the course at www.coworkingstartupschool.com. I am so excited to share today's guest with you. You are going to love this episode and you are going to love Ellen. So today I talk with Ellen Kim. She is one of the co-founders of Temescal Works in Oakland, California, which is just over the bay from me. Ellen is a member of my flight group program. She was in the pre-launch flight group program, and then she graduated into the in-flight version of the program after she opened her space. She's been open 3 or 4 months now, which seems crazy. She created a hyper-local co-working space in a building in a neighborhood in Oakland that she bought with 11 of her neighbors. So this is just such a great story. For any of you looking for success stories in creating a meaningful community and a successful space in a local market, this one is for you. So enjoy. I am super excited to share with you today Ellen Kim, who is one of the co-founders, and she'll get into how many co-founders she has, of Temescal Works in Oakland, California. So she's actually sitting across the bay from me today, and I've had the privilege of visiting her space for her launch party, which was really special. And she is a member of one of my flight groups, and so we stay connected on Slack, and we talk once a month and have a little support group when we need it. So she's going to talk to us today. She recently launched, and I can't believe we were just talking before we recorded that it's been 4.5 months. It seems like yesterday. It probably doesn't seem like yesterday to you, but thank you for joining us today and sharing a little bit about your story and what it's been like in the first 4 months.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so happy and excited to be here, Jamie. Thanks for the invite. So it's interesting because it's been exactly a year since I reached out to you. It was October of last year. My husband's the one who discovered your podcast and told me about you. And he and I were both listening independently. And I think on the same day, we listened to a podcast where you said that you had like one opening left for your flight group. And we both independently emailed you to see if I could fill that spot. And then you actually emailed me back. And I was like, oh my God, she's got a spot left in her flight group. And then I got to, you know, you and I talked and I got to be a part of it. And you've been an amazing resource. And I love the other people in our group and just being able to share information. And I wish I were a little bit more active. I'm not the biggest Slack user, but anyway, it's a great resource having the flight group and I love being a part of it. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And yeah, we have a really great group. I love it too. And I know I remember connecting. And so I want you to tell your story because you've moved really quickly. You know, I remember when we chatted, you were kind of still deciding co-working, not co-working. And then here we are a year later and you're open and rolling. So I wish, you know, maybe I'll post a photo in the show notes because your location in Oakland, it's just really special. It's in a neighborhood. I mean, it's like a rejuvenating neighborhood. So there's a building next door that still needs to be rejuvenated. And you're like this bright ray of sunshine on the street. But you've had, I mean, I can't wait to kind of have you talk about sort of the reception to opening and what that's like. But so this really plays into sort of your why behind co-working. So tell us, you know, how you decided to get into this. It's a little bit of a windy story, but that's okay. I think it's interesting. So dive in.
It hasn't been a direct route by any means, but a really fun route. I mean, to take a step back from why co-working. So it's actually starts with the building that our co-working operation resides in. So I actually live 3 blocks away from Temescal Works, from the building that we're in. And The way the co-working came about was that a bunch of neighbors and I came together a few years ago and actually purchased the building that we're operating out of. And with no idea what we were going to do, it was just this building that was sort of in disrepair and kind of blighty.
You had some vision because, I said, you just sort of, you're walking and you're like, well, and then
It's right on the corner of the block where I live on. And I've lived in this neighborhood for over a dozen years. And, you know, I'd walk by the building almost every day and be like, somebody needs to do something to this building. It's, you know, there's peeling off of it, broken windows. It just hadn't been a really utilized building. And so a bunch of neighbors and I came together a few years ago and thought, okay, well, you know, maybe we should do something with this space. And long story, we got together, we raised the funds, we purchased the building with the idea that we're going to do something with it. We don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something better than what it is right now. And we went through a really long renovation process. I mean, that has actually been 3 years. So 3 years ago in October, I looked this up because we were going to have this podcast.
Okay.
But it was actually 3 years ago when my neighbors and I just came together to start talking about the building. And it took us 2 years to go through the process of actually taking ownership of doing all the rehab. We did extensive renovation. It's a gorgeous building. It's a 1928 brick and timber building, 9,500 square feet, great bones, but just had not been really, you know, utilized and taken advantage of and had kind of fallen into disrepair. So, I mean, we just did all kinds of stuff to it. We sandblasted the interior so that now it's in its beautiful original brick. We sandblasted the exterior. We did all kinds of structural work. It was such a project. And this was my first venture into being a part of owning commercial buildings.
Because real quick, your background is?
My background is not buying commercial buildings. My background is in design. So my pivot was from having my own floral design studio. So I had my own floral design studio for about 10 years. And I stopped that a few years ago because I worked a lot on the weekends because I did mostly weddings. And it was great. At a certain point, you kind of get burned out and you feel like I could really use my weekends back. And so I actually closed my floral design studio and was looking for my next thing, not knowing that co-working was going to be it. And it just, everything just sort of happened organically. I mean, so my background is in architecture and space planning and graphic design and a bunch of different design related areas that finally culminated in floral design a number of years ago. But all of these different things that have been a part of my life and my skill set have just all sort of converged into co-working. Because I got to be a part of the architectural build out. I did a lot of the space planning for Temescal Works.
Yep.
I got to design our logo. I do a lot of marketing graphics. And it's just, it's kind of dreamy in a way. I get to tap into these different things that are a part of my background that, you know, I never would have thought would have all converged into. But,
manifested. I think that often about, so I have no design background, but I love it. And I love being a part of it.
Yes.
And the community piece and the business piece and like just bringing it all together. I think the same thing, like the word dreamy, you're just like, wow, this is a real, you know, thing that I can do with my life and pulls together all the things that I love.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, like any business venture, you know, you kind of have to have this entrepreneurial spirit and this desire to build something and start something. And it's hard. And there's so much that you have to learn, so much that you have to draw upon from within yourself and outside of yourself. But that's sort of the exciting thing. It's like not knowing where you're going to be able to draw from, you know, what inspiration, what skill sets that you're tapping into within yourself that you didn't even know you had, but you kind of have to draw it out of yourself in order to build something. And especially with co-working, because it's a relatively new industry, not knowing where you're going to go and just kind of being, you know, navigating, but also going along for the ride because you don't know exactly where you're going to end up.
Yeah, it kind of has to be about the journey, right? Because you're not sure what the end point is. What's the goal here? Right.
Exactly. I mean, lot of progress, but it's also appreciating the process too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you don't feel like you're making much progress.
Yeah. Okay. So you bought the building with 8 people and then you started doing work on it, fixing a lot of foundational issues. And then how did you decide what you were going to do with it?
So just to one small thing. So we actually have 12 owners in the building.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of us. There's a whole like small city of us who came together for the building. And then the 8 of us decided to pursue the co-working business. And
I mean, you already have sort of your own, like, you created this little mini community of your own.
Oh my gosh, it's been so amazing. My partners are just phenomenal. And I couldn't have asked for a better team of people to start something like this with. And it's happened entirely organically. You know, we started as a group of neighbors who bought the building. And then from there, some of us said, okay, what next? You know, so when we got to the point where we started thinking seriously about who we wanted to bring into the space, one of my partners, Danny, brought the idea of a co-working operation to all of us. And we thought, oh, this is really interesting. Let's investigate this further. And we actually reached out to a local co-working operation to see if they might be interested in the space. And it wasn't a great fit for them. The timing wasn't great. And so we kind of looked at each other and thought, well, we did this, you know, it's like, oh, how interesting. That's a good thought. And we investigated it further and, you know, thought, okay, it's not rocket science. It's something that really fills a need in our neighborhood, you know, as part of, you know, researching more about co-working. And I didn't even know what co-working was 15 months ago. But, you know, looking into it and realizing, wow, this is something that's kind of the trend of work, you know, how people want to work. And it kind of fit in well with the transitions that were taking place in our own neighborhood. So we're in Temescal, which is a neighborhood of Oakland, which is across the bay from San Francisco. And we have a huge influx of people who need a place to work. And it's all kind of tied into the new demographic, right? There are people who are moving to our area and who either work from home or telecommute and just need a place to work. And we've somehow found that it's a real need where we're at. I mean, we're kind of in the middle of between downtown Oakland and downtown Berkeley. So two big city centers, and there really isn't a robust co-working operation present, at least not when we first started looking into co-working about a year ago. I'm sure there is many more now because co-working is really taking off. And I mean, in San Francisco, it seems like almost every block there's a co-working operation. So many, but here in Oakland, in the East Bay where we're located, it's still a thing, growing thing. And
you are, I mean, to your point, you're not right in the city center. I mean, there are houses on your street.
Yes.
It's definitely neighborhoody. And I think, I mean, we'll get more into your story, but I just, you know, one of my recent episodes was Why It Pays to Be Small But Mighty.
Yes.
Like, I totally think of you when I talk about that because you are making such an impact in your neighborhood and people want that. And people want the neighborhood location in that community. And they, you know, some of them may get on the train or the whatever and go to the WeWork, but you are such a great option. And, you know, you have a viable business that's going to thrive and, you know, that's possible. It's totally possible.
Yep. And it's such a thrill to be this thing that people can take advantage of and appreciate in the neighborhood. I mean, we have members who have come from WeWork. And one of the reasons I think someone may choose to work out of Temescal Works versus WeWork is just the scale. What we have is different. We're pretty high touch. I spend a fair amount of time at our building. We are the neighborhood co-working space. And, you know, we know all of our members. They know who we all are. It's a very kind of personal relationship that we have with people. And I think people are really looking for that. And that kind of vibe resonates with people. I think WeWork is great. I think they serve a certain niche of people who need a place to work out of. And they're kind of like, somebody mentioned this to me a while back. They're like the Starbucks of co-working.
Right. Sometimes you just want to know that you're going to get your, like, their almond milk. I know it has no sugar. So that's right. I want that when I travel. You know, yeah.
It's to expect, and it's going to be pretty much the same wherever you go. And that's the vibe that people like. If, you know, you come to Temescal Works, it's going to be a different vibe. And, you know, what we have resonates with our local population. And that's the thing about co-working and shared workspace. It's like, there's something for everybody. And part of the challenge is figuring out where you fit in into this new paradigm of work, right? Yep. Like, what do you want to be? Well, we want to be this thing that serves this portion of the population.
More importantly, who do you want to serve? And so what does that mean?
Right, exactly.
Super in tune with that. And even your space, all the decisions you made. I mean, it's beautiful. It's, you know, higher end. It's nicely designed, like some of the choices you made. And, you know, you have phone booths. You have different membership options. I mean, all the things kind of fit your local vibe. And, you know, even the fact that you're a two-story building, you've got the, it is a garage door, right? The door that opens. Yeah. In the front. I mean, like a WeWork can't do that because it is too much scale and, you know, generally don't have retail and that kind of thing. I mean, just, because you literally open into the community, which is another, just sort of fits with your brand.
Totally. All the things you just said, Jamie. And it's pretty rewarding. You know, as somebody who's lived in the neighborhood as long as I have, and as somebody who's lived in Oakland for over 25 years, a long, long time. I think we're really looking to tap into the local vibe and have it be very specific to where we're at. I mean, it's pretty meaningful. You know, it's like we can do a lot of things. By the way, I just had a birthday yesterday. So
I know. I was just going to say we should wish you a happy belated birthday.
Well, it was a big one. I mean, this was the big 5-0 for me. So, I mean, I'm at a point in my life where I'm thinking.
Oh, yesterday was a big one because I remember you had a big weekend away. And I was like, I feel like it just was her birthday. I haven't known her for that long, but I've like gone through multiple.
celebrating my 50th birthday year.
For sure. As you should. I didn't realize that was the vote. Gosh. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But you know, it's a big milestone and it makes you think about where you're at in your life.
And your purpose and what's bringing meaning. Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, this has been a big year for me, obviously, because I turned 50, but also because, you know, I started on this new venture and it makes you, you know, where I'm at in my life, it makes me think about where do I want to spend my energies? You know, where have I spent it so far? And where do I want to spend it in the future? And, you know, we were talking a minute ago about progress and process and what we're doing right now. It's hard. Building a business is hard.
I was going to say, we're talking about all the sort of meaning driven pieces. When we've had our calls of you're like, oh man, the lock systems, not talking to the management platform and the, I can't remember, something else wasn't working at the building. And
well, that's been like a huge challenge. It's like, I mean, this is a totally new industry for me personally. And, you know, again, it's not the most difficult thing in the world, but any new thing, there's always a
learning.
And with what we're doing, you know, there's learning curves, like small learning curves, like learning how to use our coffee maker, but then really like, you know, huge learning curves, like our co-working management system and how that integrates with our CRM and how that integrates with, you know, yada, yada, yada. And it's like constantly pinging back and forth between these high level things that you have to think about and these, I don't want to say lower level, but they're more detail oriented. And I mean, that my headspace to navigate that territory just drives me nuts sometimes.
Totally. Oh, yeah, right.
Because you're so stretched and you're constantly having to pivot
and reprioritize
and take a step back and then dive right back in again. And it's definitely challenging, but I also realize that for me personally, I mean, I really thrive on that sort of energy. It's not something that's sustainable for anybody, I think, for a long period of time. This is why I think any new business, you have to, you know, after a certain point, like for us, the first 3 months was triage. You
know? Right.
Like, let's attend to the immediate things that are really urgent and really important. How do you move and then take a step back and then pivot from having everything be an emergency to having things still be a little chaotic, but sort of prioritizing to the point where, you know, okay, at least now I can handle this and I can plan for that and not be so reactive all the time. That's been an interesting challenge kind of, but something that you kind of have to always keep in mind, like always being able to take a step back, always being able to dive right into, and where that threshold is, I navigate every day.
Right. Right. Well, let's share a little bit about your journey. So before you opened, kind of what was the most mysterious part for you about starting a co-working space? What was kind of the thing you were trying to figure out?
Pretty much everything. I mean, it's there's just so many different things that you have to wrap yourself, your head around. And then getting up to speed on what co-working was and then how that fit into the larger context of how people are working today. Because we're in an industry that's moving quickly because the way people are working is changing. And none of it has been figured out yet. And so it's kind of figuring things out in your own bubble, but knowing that bubble is part of a larger bubble that's also still being figured out. There's just so many unknowns about the industry and about just how people choose to work. And I came from a background of not being in an environment where I would go into an office because I had a studio. And so that, like, just knowing the world of, in a way, office work has been something that's been a bit of a learning curve for me. And that was a little mysterious. And I mean, I have partners whose, you know, brains I could tap into, and my husband who works in a large office setting with lots of other people. I mean, that has educated me a little bit, but it's mysterious because, like, all the things that you might expect to come across from being in an office environment or industries who cater to people who work in offices or businesses, it's still different with co-working. There's things about co-working that have nothing to do with how people have worked for the last 20 years.
Right.
And like, you know, our printer, for example, like our printer, I won't mention who we're working with, but they know their stuff. They know all about the print industry and how offices, you know, use printers and how, you know, how that entire office environment should be for a single company.
Right.
But they came into our space and suggested certain things, you know, with the experience that they have working with single companies.
Yeah.
It had no appropriate application to the co-working space that we have, where, you know, we have people coming in and leaving all the time and coming in with 7 different devices.
Right.
None of that is being, there's no single like protocol for how people come into the work environment. So like having to navigate that has been such an eye opener. And there are really well-established industries out there who don't know anything about co-working.
I know. That's why I think it's interesting. It's like, we feel like it's becoming so mainstream, probably because we pay attention to it and it's in the media, but right, they just don't know the use cases for it yet.
Yes.
People, yeah, even totally. So, I mean, printer's probably a good example, but what would you say are other sort of challenges that you didn't expect either before or after you opened?
I think for us, because we had a huge build out for our building, that was a complicating factor for just launching. So we spent over a year just getting our renovation done.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had a number of pre-sales for the business, but we had to postpone our opening because of all of our construction delays. And all of those like physical construction delays impacted us like dramatically. Like, mm-hmm. So we couldn't even get fiber pulled to our building for internet access because of the construction delays, because we had electrical delays, which then delayed PG&E coming out and pulling the fiber in. So just all of these physical things that I wouldn't have thought would have complicated the business portion of Temescal Works ended up really affecting us. And that was a huge hurdle to get past. So yeah, for us, definitely construction. All the headaches associated with that.
But so challenge, anything sort of unexpected that you would share?
Honestly, Jamie, I don't think there were things that were necessarily unexpected for the business side of things. I think we actually did a fair amount of due diligence. We did a lot of research.
Yeah.
We looked into different co-working operations. I mean, I myself visited a number of them and worked out of a bunch of them. So I just kind of got a feel for physically what it's like being in a co-working space. listening to a lot of your podcasts, engaging with other co-working operators, that was super helpful. So I think we had a pretty good and realistic handle on what to expect pre-launch. Post-launch, I think it really is all the systems that have to come together that is kind of unexpected. I mean, everything is sort of related to one another. And if you don't have integrations with things, it just complicates things. That's really what we're discovering. And to get to a point where you're able to effectively integrate your various systems is a process. There's a lot to have to think about and then to get working and then get working in the right way so that it fits in with this other thing that also needs to work independently of the working together part.
For sure. What does your membership look like? Like, what do people do for work that are members of your space?
It's a pretty eclectic mix, I'd say, and pretty representative, I feel, the kinds of people who live in our neighborhood. So we've got an environmental law firm. We have a few attorneys in this space. We have a number of people in the food space industry. So we've got a sales rep from Chobani.
Oh, nice.
We've got a sales rep from Strauss Creamery. We also have a woman who's one of my neighbors who reps her family's organic farm. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, so food is well represented.
Yeah.
At our space. We've got some people working in nonprofits. We have a residential real estate group that's a teen space. Who else do we have? Oh, we have this lovely woman, Lisa, who is starting a new company that is basically a resource for women who are coming back to the workplace after having been gone, mostly to raise kids.
Yeah.
And so she's starting her company. And actually, we have a few different groups who are just starting out. So it's been sort of interesting working with them in terms of their space needs, because they themselves don't know where they're going to be 6 months from now in terms of their own businesses, but also in terms of how much space they need. And we have a pretty open layout. And so, you know, we want people to grow with us. And so that's pretty exciting that we can work with them to help them grow.
Right.
It's a little challenging for us because we have a few different team spaces who are new. We're trying to figure out how best to build out our space to accommodate everybody who wants to be in the space. So just to let your listeners know, Anjing, so we have two floors. Our first floor has been built out. And we have all of our offices on our first floor and all of our co-working tables. Our second level is predominantly dedicated desks right now. And we will eventually have offices built out, but we've sort of been building based on the demand. So for what people tell us what they want, we're trying to build it out. We were hoping to have more offices on our second floor built out by November, but we have found that construction costs are so high right now. We've been working with an architect to draw up plans for offices on our second floor, and the bids that came back were 2.5 times what we were expecting. It's just the market right now, the industry right now is really, if you're in the construction industry, you're really lucky.
I think that's a really important point because we've seen that Roger mentioned that on one of our recent flight group calls. He's in Dallas and same thing. He said, you know, he also bought a building about the same size and he's taken kind of a while to make some decisions. And he said he's really starting to regret that because now construction costs are coming back. I mean, some of it is, I think, materials and some of it is, you know, labor demand. If you're in a market where there's a lot of building, it's just... Yep. You know, that's really changing. And Oakland and Dallas would fall into those categories. So
yeah,
it's a reality of our business. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's kind of an important one.
Yeah. And it's making us rethink how we want to build out our spaces and the proportion of offices versus enclosed spaces.
So you've had a lot of demand. I mean, just to kind of walk through your space, you have kind of lounge area open to the outside in the front. So co-working space in the middle, you've got your meeting rooms on the first floor, your kitchen, and then team spaces in the back. And then the dedicated, I love the second floor. I want a dedicated desk on your second floor. It's got the TV roof and all the light. And
We love our building. We really do. We've got a lot of skylights, and it lets in an amazing amount of natural light. And we've got an open atrium that's 20 foot high ceilings in the middle. And then our second floor has an open area, I guess like a mezzanine that looks out onto the first floor. So it's got a really open feeling. And then all of our offices on our first floor are on the perimeter of the building, so that in the our central atrium, that can just be co-working and people can sort of just be in that space and enjoy the skylights and the natural lighting from above. And as much as possible from a build out perspective, we're trying to retain all of the natural light and the feeling of openness. So when we do eventually build out the offices on the second floor, we're going to keep them on the perimeter of the building and hopefully be able to have a lot of glass storefront, which is what we have in our downstairs offices right now. So there is that feeling of transparency and just openness. And it's a challenge building in our climate right now. In Oakland, you look at the skyline and there's like 17 cranes.
Yeah.
So much development going on. It's amazing. And I think it's really, really cool. I love it. I feel like, you know, there's this change that's happening in Oakland that I'm happy to be a part of. On the one hand, on the other hand, as somebody who's trying to build out a co-working space, it does make it challenging because it's very hard to find construction being done at a price point that makes sense to us.
Right.
So we're really having to be creative about how we build out our offices. And the timeline may be a little bit longer than expected for, you know, fully having, you know, all the offices that we want on our second floor. But in the meanwhile, we'll have dedicated desks. And that's also been interesting, seeing the people who want to come in and have just groupings of dedicated desks and aren't necessarily looking for enclosed office spaces. So we're kind of figuring things out with our members, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of interesting, well, two things I just want to mention. One is that there's an advantage to owning the building. You're paying a mortgage, but you have a longer term view on the business and the return to some extent. And so you were able to say, you know, we'll approach the second floor in this way, but we're going to be a little bit flexible and see, you know, what do people want and how do we handle sort of the creative space that you need to manage in terms of construction, but giving yourself a little bit of time to learn about your members and what do they want.
Yep.
And the other thing that I think is interesting that I did a recent episode on was pre-sales, because I also think of you guys when I think about that, because you did a little bit of that, which was great. I mean, it ended up being stressful for you because you wanted to be able to deliver on what you had promised.
Yes.
But you had really validated kind of the demand and, you know, had people on your list. Can you just talk a little bit about some of the activities you did there?
Absolutely. So that was a really interesting exercise to go through for us and a really fruitful one. So when we first started talking about co-working, you know, we kind of dipped our toes and wanted to make sure it was something that could be sustained, you know, by the neighborhood. And so we marketed in a very low hanging fruit sort of way by putting flyers on telephone poles in our neighborhood.
I think that's why I love this, though. Like, I think, you know, we sort of overthink it, but you just did some basic, flyers and then your street festival.
Yeah. I mean, real sort of kind of easy stuff. So we put a bunch of flyers on telephone poles. We have an annual neighborhood street fair that we rented a booth at and, you know, collected a bunch of signatures and just let people know that we were going to start this. And so we did a bunch of things to gauge what the interest was in the neighborhood, and we got a really great response. So all the flyers that we put out in the neighborhood basically directed people to our beta website. And on our website, we had a very simple form that asked people to let us know what kind of a space they were looking into. You know, were they interested in co-working? Were they interested in a dedicated desk that they could go to? Were they interested in an office? And based on all of the feedback that we got from all the people who filled out the forms, that's how we built out our first floor. And there was enough of a demand where we could do a bunch of pre-sales. And so that was super exciting, because then we thought, okay, so this idea had legs. People want to actually be in the space and they're willing to pay a deposit to be in the space. So super validating, super reassuring. And we just kind of incrementally kept moving in the direction that we felt people in the neighborhood wanted us to move. And a very organic process. But as you pointed out a minute ago, Jamie, it was great because we had all these pre-sales, but we had all these construction delays. So, then we couldn't deliver on the promise. So we thought we were going to be open on May 1st. And with all of our delays, constantly hammering away, we didn't end up opening until June 1st, which was a month later, it was a pretty stressful time. We had to, have a lot of conversations with members and let them know that, hey, we're still opening. We're still here. We just need you to be a little bit more patient. And people were really willing to work with us, which we're really grateful for and thankful for, but definitely a bit stressful having all of those delays. It was good to get those pre-sales because it validated that the direction we were going in, was a good one.
Did you have people put a deposit down for a specific membership type, like an office or a co-working membership?
Yes. Yeah. So, because we wanted to know, the ratio.
The mix. Yeah.
Because we needed to know how many desks to order. We needed to know how many tables to order really how to build out that space. And it's one of those things where it didn't feel right to go too far in any one direction because we weren't sure whether people were actually going to come. I mean, you can build something out and say, oh, they'll come, but will they really come?
Right. Yep.
Especially for building out office spaces because the build out is so high. And
so much more expensive to do the enclosed spaces.
And I mean, the longer term return is definitely there with office build outs, but you have to make sure that you can foot the bill up front because you're going to have to pay that up front. And you have to make sure that the demand is there. And so it's been an interesting process figuring that out. And I think we're building out in the way that makes the most sense for what people are telling us that they want. And luckily for us, we really are in a market where people want co-working. They want a place to work. And it's for all the reasons that we always hear about, Jamie. I have a home office, but, I have too many distractions and I want
dogs and kids and
exactly. And we actually have a number of people in our space who have young kids. And I've heard from a number of our members. It's just a way to get out of the house and to, have that separation. And because it's a physical separation and a mental separation. And it's been cool to be able to have a space that people can go to that's literally within walking distance of their house. I mean, many of our members are biking to us or probably have like a 20-minute walk. And in fact, I bump into a lot of our members in our neighborhood.
In the neighborhood, right.
Oh my God, it's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool. I love it.
Well, I know you have to go for a photo shoot. In closing, what one piece of advice would you give to an operator that is in the pre-launch phase of their space?
All right. So I would say there's so many things that come into play that, one needs to know about. So it's kind of important to, I think, figure out early on, what are the things that you need to know now versus what are the things that you can kind of put off until
later. Figure out just in time figuring out.
Because it's so easy to get overwhelmed. And, there's focus on the things that you can focus on right now that, basically you don't have any control over. But the things that are also going to give you the most bang for your buck now and that you can leverage more for later. Because there are, 1,700 things that you could know, but there's probably only 236 that you really need to know.
Right away.
Yeah. 17 of them that you need to know now. It's a way to keep yourself sane, right? From all the things that you have to know. I think that would be my main piece of advice. It's a good way not to let yourself go crazy.
Kind of the 80-20 rule. Like what's the 20% of the things that'll drive 80% of the business at any given point? And that'll change over time.
That's exactly right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. And congratulations on your space. I, of course, can't, wait to, I'll have to come back. I should come over soon. I know. To go hang out at one of your desks on the second floor.
Please, you'll have to try out some of our new phone booths that we're going to get.
And the phone booths. Yeah, totally. Wow. Which ones? Well, everybody's going to want to know, which phone booths are you most happy with right now?
So we just ordered, I'm going to do a little plug for Zen Booths.
Yeah.
Local company here in Berkeley. We've got three of those, but we, we're kind of always exploring. So we just ordered five more booths from a company called Room. I think they're, I'll give them a plug. Their website, I think, is Get Room. We did test them out in person and they seemed really awesome. So we're excited to have them in the space. So yeah, you'll have to come out and.
Totally. I'll have to test the phone booth. Yeah, we have Zen booth as well. So I'll have to test the other ones.
Yes.
Very fun.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to chat with you and just for being an awesome, awesome resource and just a fantastic person, Jamie. Thank you.
You're so sweet because right back at you, like I love doing what I do so that I get to meet people like you. So thank you. Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.